You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Last year, Auckland Council removed 30% of bins from public places with the hopes of saving about $9.5 million over an eight-year period. While the council didn't foresee an increase in littering, last week Stuff published an article sharing the frustrations of residents who observed a growing litter problem in council parks. Illegal dumping has also been on the rise across Auckland. With more than 1,300 reports per month, the cost of retrieving illegally dumped items is about $2.7 million every year and rising. Also, Mayor Wayne Brown has announced that he wants to see Auckland become the premier tech city of New Zealand to boost our global influence and reputation, calling on the government to establish the new Advanced Technology Institute here, which he says could play a key role in guiding new startups so ideas don't die on the vine. Beginning with the problem of rubbish in Auckland, I started by asking Julie Ferry if she believed the removal of bins was to blame for increased littering.
It doesn't seem like it probably is, to be honest. All the data that we're getting shows that there's no spike in complaints or requests for services to remove litter around places where we have previously removed rubbish bins. There was a very specific issue around Music Point, which was the one that was reported on. And it looks like there that the rubbish is due to antisocial behaviour, parties and people leaving behind dog poo bags. So that's being specifically addressed. I don't think they're called park rangers anymore, but the person who used to be called the park ranger for that area has picked that up, made some comments to media and clarified that there's going to be some extra work there to just get on top of it. So it doesn't look like there is a link there at all.
Were the costs of litter patrols and other measures to remove increased volumes of litter accounted for in the savings Auckland Council expects to achieve by the removal of public bins?
Yeah, I think so, because the expectation was that it wouldn't necessarily create any extra need for that stuff. So in some cases, there have been bins removed where there was only one bin, but in most cases it's actually been where there were, say, two bins quite close together, that kind of thing. So what people can do, though, if they're worried about a particular location, is they can raise that with their local board. And local boards have been working with the parks and community facilities people who are in charge of the bins. So that is something, if people have a particular location, I really strongly encourage them to talk to their local board. You can work out which local board is yours through the council website. But it doesn't look like there is a link there. There's also an important difference between littering and illegal dumping. Illegal dumping tends to be quite different. We're talking about larger items, things like mattresses, pieces of furniture, sometimes large amounts of household rubbish, you know, often in bags and stuff like that. And there appears to be absolutely no link at all, definitely, between illegal dumping and where rubbish bins have been removed. People weren't using those rubbish bins to put those kinds of items in anyway. But we do have a broader illegal dumping problem. We've had it for years. And people are really strongly encouraged to ring 0800 no dump to log illegal dumping, because that's something that once there's a little bit, it tends to attract more and more and more. And we do put cameras up in hotspots to catch people, and we do prosecute people who we catch.
Yeah, as you've mentioned, illegal dumping has been on the rise across Auckland. You've already mentioned that you've got cameras set up in some areas. What are some of the other ways Auckland Council has been responding to this problem?
So there's two ways, right? One is to reduce it happening in the first place. And so we have now the inorganic system where you can book to have your items picked up. I've just recently booked for my area, and that's coming up in late July for my street. And that's a free service. You can access that once a year, and they will come around and take away stuff. The reality for a lot of people is that they don't necessarily have room to store those things in between inorganic collections. So, you know, I have some sympathy there, that often it is hard to know, how do I get rid of a mattress or whatever? So there's a range of initiatives in that sort of waste management space around connecting people with community recycling centres, and we're building more and more of those around the region. And also thinking about So, for example, you can take paint cans, which is something you can't put in the rubbish. You've got lots of paint cans. You can take them to most resines and they will accept them for recycling. There's other places like that. I think some might attend to take big pieces of polystyrene. So there's sort of a bit of a network being created around giving people options around those kinds of items. One of the things to think about is when you're buying a new thing, how do I get rid of the old thing? So, for example, if you're buying a new mattress, these days a lot of people will buy a new mattress, they'll get it delivered straight to their house through companies like Ecosa, and they will actually take your old mattress away as well, but you probably need to just check that they're going to do that, be ready for them to do that. So that's another way that we can sort of prevent in the first place. And also I should say that if people do have items and they don't know how to get rid of them, you can contact council for advice as well. So that can be another useful option. But then in terms of stopping people from, you know, catching people who are doing it to stop them from doing it again, as I said, we do have cameras and hotspots. Those cameras actually move around, and we have the 0800 no dump. And also in terms of some of those stuff, particularly where we're seeing large numbers, there'll actually be some forensic investigation that tries to work out where those have come from so that we can prosecute that person. Because it's likely if it's something like a large dump of tyres, that it's actually probably somebody commercially doing that. It's unlikely someone would have a big bunch of tyres that they've put on the back of their personal truck that they've been keeping in their personal home and they've gone and dumped them. It'll probably be part of somebody's business. And that should be part of your business, is how do I responsibly dispose of any waste that I have, rather than making money off dumping stuff in public parks.
Moving on to my next topic, Mayor Wayne Brown has announced that he wants to see Auckland become the premier tech city of New Zealand. What forms of funding is Auckland Council considering to enact these plans?
So I'm not sure of any particular additional funds, but there is happening at the moment, happening later in the year, is Auckland Startup Week, which is a new initiative from Tātaki Auckland Unlimited, which is part of council, and that's happening in October. So there'll be funding for that. I can't tell you how much, but not because it's secret, just because I don't know. And the website for that's going to be launching at the end of June. More information will be available for the media about that in July. There's also Grid Auckland, which is the innovation hub down in Wynyard Quarter that Council has supported for 10 years now. That's sort of a co-working space that encourages startups and sort of works in that sort of tech and innovation ecosystem so that people can learn from each other and things like that. So there's two key locations for that. There's a startup hub in Pakenham Street West, and then there's a scale-up hub, which is the next step, then at 12 Madden Street, and that's worked with 140 businesses and over 900 employees. So that's been really successful in terms of that tech space, supporting people in the startup. So one of the things that I think the Mayor's keen to focus on now is also how do we approach some of those bigger players to be based in Auckland as well. And so we'll just sort of have to see how that unfolds. One of the things there is also that Tātaki Auckland Unlimited, we made a decision late last year to restructure where the economic development function for council sits, and it has been sitting with Tātaki, and it's actually now going to be coming in-house to Auckland Council. That's going to roll out over the next little while. So that'll have a bearing on how that tech stuff is supported by council in the future, and probably a little bit too early to say what that exactly is going to look like, but potentially quite exciting. Also how they might work with local boards to think about, okay, are there particular locations where it might make sense to bid for, say, data centre to be located and things like that, not necessarily just looking entirely at the city centre, but looking regionally.
What are some of the benefits Auckland Council is hoping to gain by establishing this strategic alliance with the tech centre in terms of global and national growth, I suppose?
So, I mean, we know that that's sort of one of the future industries, if you like. I mean, it's an industry now, but it's also one that's going to continue to develop into the future. And so it's the kind of thing that attracts investment, attracts jobs, attracts people with skill and talent. And the more of all of that we have in our city, the better for the city as a whole economically, but also as a cool place to live, These are people who will support our hospitality businesses, our service industries. You know, they'll live here and work here and make a great contribution to the city on a range of factors. But also, we know that there's a lot of benefits from what's called agglomeration, where you bring together and you have sort of an intensity of people doing similar things, and then they learn from each other, they help each other to excel. There's a sort of cross-pollination of ideas and that kind of stuff, which has a broader benefit as well. To use a sports metaphor, which Shane would use, I imagine, every week, when Tiger Woods was just hitting it hole-in-ones all over the place and stuff, it actually lifted the whole performance of a lot of other golfers as well. So it's that kind of thing, to use a very ham-fisted golf metaphor. And of course, Tiger Woods is highly problematic, just putting that out there.
At this stage, has there been any expression of support from the government for this plan, especially in relation to this new Advanced Technology Institute that Mayor Wen Brown was hoping the government would establish in Auckland?
I think the Advanced Technology Institute, my understanding is that basically sort of bids are in now to say, hey, you should base one here. And so that's what we're doing, is we're going, hey, we're putting our hand up. Auckland's a great place to do this. And it's probably too soon to say whether central government's going to go, yep, we agree, because I think they're in a process of sort of accepting bids and stuff on that. I think it's a no-brainer. Obviously, it should happen in Auckland. Cities are amazing innovation engines, and this is the natural place to do that.
How does this priority align with the council's commitment to other key issues like climate action and tackling the cost of living for Aucklanders?
Yeah, so I think one of the things we know is that tech jobs can be reasonably high wage, not all of them, but that potentially, you know, helps with some of the cost of living stuff for those specific people, which potentially has some knock-on effects as well. But I think the climate piece is really interesting, because we know that some of the stuff is actually quite hard on the climate. Like, we often think of tech as being naturally quite green, but not necessarily. And so I think it's really important that as we progress this kind of thing, we do keep that in the back of our mind. How do we actually do this in a way that is sustainable? In New Zealand, we tend to be quite blasé about the use of electricity, because so much of our electricity is renewable energy from hydro. But we know that, you know, some of these data centres require massive amounts of energy. What we're seeing with the increased use of AI and the frivolous use of AI as well, in ways that are actually really bad for the environment, that's starting to become a thing that people are aware of. I mean, I think 2 years, 3 years ago, when people started making images of John Oliver marrying a cabbage, I don't think any of us had, or it might have been a lettuce, anyway, I don't think any of us had any idea that was, you know, sucking so much energy and actually to the point of being a problem. And now we do know that. We know better, we need to do better. So that is something I think that we need to be really mindful of. And I'm really interested in how, if we get this advanced tech centre, we can actually use that to support a lot of climate innovation. So, for example, the adoption of tech in the agriculture industry, that could significantly reduce emissions and things like that. There's some really cool stuff happening there. As it happens, council operates a bunch of farming activities through our regional parks. So there's a potential there for us to pilot some of this stuff, to test it out, working with scientists as well as the tech industry, and then, you know, help the industry to scale it for use on commercial farms. So there's some real opportunities there, but we need to consciously do them. We can't just expect them to happen without some strategic input.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.